Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Columbus, Ohio, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. I invite you to open your heart and mind as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you on the radio broadcast. We are continuing to share with you on the subject of the truth about Christmas. We've talked about the fact that Christmas means a Mass for Christ, later shortened to Christmas, started by the Catholics in 313 A.D. The purpose was to please the pagans and draw them into the Church. And they did this by accepting some of their customs, which was one of them was the pagan celebration of the birth of the unconquered Son, worshiping a false god, and this was on December 25th, so they appointed December 25th as the birthday of Jesus. Jesus became as the unconquered Son to the pagans. And so did the Church ever celebrate this day as a birthday of Jesus during the first 300 years? Absolutely not. What's the Bible say about the celebrating the birth of Jesus? Nothing. Yet it's explicit about what we remember and what we celebrate. The world celebrates Christmas. Followers of Jesus are hated by the world. Why would worldly people celebrate His birth if they hate Him and reject Him? The reason is because it's not the birthday of Jesus. We know that because we already talked about Elizabeth's conception that occurred at the end of July, and this would have then brought the birthday of Jesus in the end of October. The conception of Jesus would have been at the end of January. Some people try to say, well, we know the birthday of Jesus wasn't on December 25th, but He was conceived about that time. No, He wasn't conceived until the end of January and then born at the end of October. We've looked at the festivals from Babylon and from the time of the Roman Saturnalia and seen that they all involved drunkenness, revelry and sport, luxurious abundance, the spending, the exchange of gifts, sexual license, no work, gambling, buildings lit, evergreen trees decorated, fir trees, all of these things that were going on, which is the modern, brings us up to the modern traditions of the Christmas celebration. And we've talked about the fact that how Protestants rejected this paganism and any observances of the Christmas celebration. They had an absolute abhorrence to it. John Knox, a famous preacher from Scotland, absolutely forbid any of them to have anything to do with it. Oliver Cromwell in England was also one who was absolutely against it. The Puritans in America were against it. They passed laws against it. They put people in jail if they observed it. True Christians had firm opposition until the 1800s, when compromise set in. By the end of the 1800s, as state after state, ending with Oklahoma in 1890, they finally made it a legal holiday, and so compromise set in and accepted it. Now, these present-day traditions, we're going to be looking at that today, they all are involved in false worship. And we talked about the modern Christmas tree's origin, the use of trees in the past, was for worship of false gods and idolatry. And we saw this, that this is something that is in the Word of God, even Jeremiah chapter 10, where it says, the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, Jeremiah 10 verse 3, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They sit there and cut this tree. Then it says, they deck it with silver and with gold. Sounds like a Christmas tree, doesn't it? They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. Exactly what people do. They're upright as the palm tree. Otherwise, they set this thing upright, but it speaks not. It was idolatry, and this was the worship of false sun gods and false gods through tree worship. It was common in past generations. The Egyptians worshipped the palm tree, denoting their pagan gods. The Roman Saturnalia, they denoted the fir tree as a pagan god, the pagan messiah, Baal Berith. The Teutonic and the Scandinavian peoples, they worship trees for protection. Trees have been involved in idolatry. The Scandinavian customs of decorating the tree and barn with evergreens to scare away the devil continued on. Now, we mentioned that the modern Christmas tree originated in Germany, where in the 8th century, St. Boniface dedicated a fir tree to the Holy Child to replace the sacred oak of the god Odin. See, they were used to worship this god Odin through the sacred oak tree. Well, they changed this and decided that they were going to dedicate a fir tree to the Holy Child. This is where the symbol of pagan tree worship was carried on by the Catholic Church, and who changed the dedication from being to a pagan god to the Holy Child. They changed it. You can't just decide to change something when, in reality, that's the spirit behind it. Well, the first decorated Christmas tree was in Germany around the 16th century, and the first tree of record was in Strasbourg in 1604. German settlers brought their customs to America in the 17th century. Among the German Lutherans, the custom of the Christmas tree was brought widespread in the 18th century and became a deep-rooted tradition in the 19th century. The first national recognition of the Christmas tree occurred in 1856 when President Franklin Pierce decorated one at the White House. Up to that time, it was not accepted in the 1700s or in the early 1800s in this country. What about the ornaments on the tree? They originated in the pagan civilization as well. The hanging balls, the ornaments, were symbols of sun worship. The angels on the trees were thought to be message bearers by the Roman and Greek gods. The candles were fastened to the trees in the Saturnalia to show the sun's return to the earth. And they were also believed to help drive away the forces of cold and darkness. Of course, the modern-day replacement for candles on the tree is the Christmas lights. Mistletoe was important in the Babylonian pagan celebration. This mistletoe branch was considered a divine branch that came from heaven, the sun god, grew upon a tree that sprang out of the earth. This is what man was to get pardon from the sun god. The mistletoe branch symbolized the sun god from heaven joining together with mankind in divine reconciliation. The kiss under the mistletoe symbolized the pardon and reconciliation of Baal, the sun god. Well, the Druids considered the mistletoe sacred. They used it in their worship ceremonies, the symbol of the sun, the store of life and protector against disease and poison and lightning and evil spirits. It was hung over the door for fertility. Among the Romans, it was a symbol of peace and reconciliation. When the enemies met under the mistletoe, they discarded their weapons and declared a truce. The use of holly and ivy has pagan origins as well. Holly was a symbol of male reproduction, and ivy was a symbol of female reproduction. Holly and ivy were symbols of fertility, and they were kept in the house to bring good luck from the gods. Holly was worshipped before the birth of Christ by those who thought its greenness was a promise of the sun's return. The Druids thought that the sun was in holly and used it to ward off evil spirits. You know, the wreaths is another thing that people hang. Wreaths were hung on the house by the pagans for good luck to come to the household and for a good harvest for the next year. Satan has really deceived people to bring these traditions into this modern-day celebration. Santa Claus is distinctly an American symbol of Christmas. However, his equivalent is preceded in tradition from pagan predecessors. In the Roman Saturnalia, Saturn was a giant who came bearing food, good food and wine and joy and revelry and equality to the people. The Norse god was named Odin, who was described as a giant with a long, flowing beard with elf helpers. Odin had a horse named Sleipnir, which is the forerunner of the sleigh and the reindeer. Father Christmas is the English equivalent of Santa Claus. He was portrayed as a giant wearing a scarlet or green robe lined with fur, crowned with holly, ivy, mistletoe, and carrying a Yule log and a bowl of Christmas punch. The name Santa Claus came from St. Nicholas, who was a bishop of Myra in the 4th century. He did many good deeds and gave gifts to the needy. His Latin name was Sankt Nicholas. The Dutch was Sinterklaas. The German was Sankt Nicholas. The American name came on the early Dutch settlers in New York called St. Nicholas Sinterklaas. And in 1865, the noted illustrator and political cartoonist Thomas Nast, he's the one that gave the Democratic donkey and the Republican elephant, he drew Santa Claus with a red suit, white whiskers, and a pot belly, and the tradition stuck. This tradition of Santa Claus coming down the chimney, though, that originated from the Norse. The Norse had a goddess of the home named Hertha, and the Norse belief was that Hertha would come and bring good luck to the home through fire. So the people had their fires burning to welcome Hertha into the home. And so she'd come down the chimney as such. So Santa coming down the chimney instead of in at the door is a survival of Hertha coming in through the fire in the fireplace. The tradition of caroling originated in paganism as well. Groups of visitors sang carols at homes in return for a drink from the wassail bowl. and this would contain all kinds of punch, and it was the forerunner of the modern-day tradition of drinking eggnog. The people often would get drunk and get involved in lustful activities, and this is the carryover of the Roman Saturnalia, where drunkenness and sexual promiscuity and processions in the street were commonplace. The word carol comes from the Greek word keros, which means dance. In France, this caroling was done with the French dance songs, and they were gradually forbidden because they were too lustful. In fact, they had people called mummers that roamed the street. They were singing, dancing, drinking, entertaining to bring good luck to the home. The Yule season had its roots in paganism. Yule means infant and childy, and the Yule log was put in the fire representing the sun god, and this was sacred. The burning of the Yule log was the forerunner of the Norse tradition of burning the oak logs in honor of their god. They believe the Yule log has had magical powers, was burned to bring good luck, to see the return of the sun, and to drive back the winter's darkness. Many of the eating traditions of the Christmas season also come from paganism. The sacrifice of the boar, the pig, led to the tradition of eating ham on New Year's Day. In fact, the boar was the symbol of Frey, the god of regeneration. And the pagans offered a boar as a sacrifice to this god of regeneration in order to ensure new calves and lambs in the spring. The eating of the plum pudding came from the druid god of plenty, Dega, who required meats and fruits and spices put into a pudding to be eaten in celebration of the winter solstice to bring good luck throughout the year. Mince pies were made and eaten because of idolatry and superstition to bring good luck. Pomander balls, which were yellow-orange apples, were consumed as a symbol of the promised return of the sun, the worship of the sun god. And the baking of cakes was done to worship the Queen of Heaven. Alcohol was consumed during these midwinter festivals to the point of drunkenness, and this is all done in celebration of the sun god. The liquor was believed to have the power to transform, stimulate, and subdue man. All these customs, in fact, the custom of getting the cattle drunk and pouring alcohol on the roots of the trees in order to increase the yield. General drunkenness with resulting gluttony and sexual activities relating to fertility occurred to signify transformation of the earth back to the green again. The custom of exchanging gifts came from paganism as well. In the Roman Empire, there was the custom called strenae. During the Saturnalia, the Roman citizens gave good luck gifts to their friends, and the Romans would exchange twigs from the sacred grove of the vegetation goddess associated with goodwill, happiness, and good luck, and this goddess was called Strenae. Later, the gifts became fruits and pastry cakes and more elaborate gifts, and to the early church, the giving of gifts at this time was a pagan holdover and was severely frowned upon. Also, the tradition of the ringing of Christmas bells had its roots in paganism. It was sounded to drive off powerful evil spirits in order to be free from them. Also, the popular modern greeting Merry Christmas came from the seasonal greeting Io Saturnalia, which was heard everywhere during the time of the Saturnalia. The term Merry Christmas is to delight in eating, drinking, and merry revelry, just as they did in Saturnalia. So we see that all these custom traditions of Christmas are rooted in pagan idolatry and false worship. It's clear that Christmas is a classic example of the church coming to terms with the traditional customs and rites of paganism and superimposing a Christian festival upon the pagan midwinter holiday. If Christmas is a pagan holiday and has no roots in Christianity, why do so many Christians participate in this Christmas celebration? The reason is because they have allowed compromise and the mixture principle to come in. They've not known the truth. Most Christians celebrate Christmas ignorantly today. They don't know the truth, but we're sharing this so that you can know the truth. Well, we're going to have one more broadcast on this where we're going to talk about this, of why a person should not be involved in celebrating Christmas and address this issue. We do have a book on this, The Truth About Christmas. If you'd like to get it, write me, David Middleton, 23 Morse Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43214. The cost is $2, and we'll get it out to you. See you on the next broadcast. God bless you. I trust that you